The school bell tells us it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. I'd invite you at this time to get your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're in a study of the man named Peter. And Peter was indeed one of the great men of the New Testament that did so very, very well. But sometimes he did so very, very poorly. And we have just been studying in this Bible class, if you've been listening to these programs, about how it was Peter that spoke up among the apostles when Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Wouldn't you love to substitute your name when the Lord says, "Blessed art thou," and then say your name? Why, what a compliment to Peter, and how that must have made Peter feel so wonderful. And yet, it is just after this that Jesus is going to rebuke Peter with a severe rebuke. In fact, Jesus is going to refer to him as Satan and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Well, that's just what we should come to expect when studying Peter, how he does so very well, and then he'll turn right around and do so very poorly, but then he will recover and do very well again. So get your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 21 in just a moment. And while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And for this school, we are studying an old Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam in a little Sunday school book that I have called Elam's Notes. And this Sunday school lesson was written for July 15th, 1923. Now, if you have your Bible, I'm going to begin reading in Luke chapter 16, and I'll read verse 21, where it says, "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes, and be killed, and the third day be raised up." This is the very first plain and distinct statement Jesus had made of his death and resurrection. He had made indirect references to it before, but from that time he repeated plainly the statements many times. Still, after his resurrection, it is said, "For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead." With their erroneous ideas, it was hard for them to learn the truth. So it is with people now. The Sanhedrin was composed of the elders, chief priests, and scribes. Jesus' suffering that he would do was foretold in the Old Testament in such chapters as Isaiah 53. Let me read to you at this time Isaiah chapter 53. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version, and this chapter reads, "Who hath believed our message, and to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when ye see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned every one to his own way. And Jehovah hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted he opened not his mouth, as a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that is before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them considereth that he was cut out of the land of the living, from the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus was telling his apostles that these are the things that would come to pass, and they would be fulfilled in him. And yet it says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 22, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? Well, that's what bold Peter did. And when he did the wrong thing. We read in that Jesus spake the saying openly in Mark 8 and verse 23. But Peter took Jesus aside to say this to him. It was such a shock to Peter, and so contrary to all his conceptions of the kingdom, for Jesus to speak of yielding to the Jews and of suffering death, that he impulsively and at once rebuked him, told him not to think it, not to talk so, and that it would never be. He thought such a thing unworthy of him who possessed such powers and who had come to establish a splendid earthly kingdom. He still thought Christ would rule by the sword. Well, after Peter rebuked Jesus, Jesus rebuked Peter. Mark chapter 16 and verse 23, but he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things that be of man. Mark 8 and verse 33 says, but he turning about and seeing his disciples rebuked Peter. Peter had taken him to one side, so when he turned to his disciples, his back was to Peter. In this attitude he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus suited his action to his language and literally turned his back upon Peter. This suggestion was from Satan. Although made through Peter's honest intentions, it was a renewal of Satan's temptation not to suffer on the cross, and Jesus promptly resisted it. In this, Peter was a stumbling block. To cause one to stumble is to lead him to sin. Had Jesus acted upon the suggestion that Peter made, the world never would have been saved. Otherwise, good men today, like Peter, would thwart the purpose of God to save the race by suggesting ways and methods different from him. This was a severe rebuke to Peter, but that spirit then was no more of Satan than the same spirit is now. When Jesus repeated this statement concerning his death, all of the apostles were sorry. But Peter did not rebuke him again. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 23, one thing we can say about Peter, he was a true leader. Let me read this account to you of Peter in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Here John writes, "So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Tend my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. As verse 14 says in this chapter, that this is now the third time that Jesus was manifest to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And as verses 1 and 2 state, this appearance was at the Sea of Tiberias, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee. And he appeared to 7 of his disciples. Peter was one of them. While all were benefited by this appearance, it seemed to have been especially for Peter's benefit. So when they had broken their fast, it says, Jesus turned his attention directly to Peter. Since Peter's fall, even though we're talking about that fall there when he had denied Christ and went out in the street and wept bitterly, and although Jesus had met him at least 3 times before, the matter had not been mentioned. Although Peter sinned, he could repent and be restored as an apostle. And he did repent, and he turned again. Immediately after he had denied the Lord Jesus, having given him such a reproving look, John 22:61-62, we read that Peter went out and wept bitterly. When Jesus foretold Peter's fall, he also predicted his restoration and laid upon him the obligation to strengthen his brethren. This obligation is renewed here in the language, Feed my lambs. Peter was suited to be a leader. Few men are. Most men must be led. Hence the importance of wise, safe, and God-fearing leaders. Peter was bold and courageous, the first to speak and act. He was also impulsive and rash, but tempered in the furnace of experience and discipline. He became wiser and was better prepared for his life's work. He needed it, too, to be assured by his Lord that he had been restored to his former position. Jesus was as kind to Peter as he was to Thomas, only he dealt with Peter in a different way. It may be significant that Jesus here addresses Peter as Simon, son of John, the name by which he was first called in John 1 and verse 42, and not as Peter, a stone. He had sown himself too weak to be a stone. But Peter declared his love for Jesus. When Jesus first called to be an apostle, it was just after a miraculous draught of fishes that he had drawn. We read about that in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now he calls him the second time under similar circumstances. 3 times Peter had denied his Lord, and 3 times here he avowed his love. What does Jesus mean by the question, Lovest thou me more than these? Scholars differ as to what these refers to. Some say maybe the fishes and bread. We'll take that up in our next class.